Part of my mind that was still mostly sane thought the statement was utterly crazy, maybe stupid, too. The ick was still chasing me, after all. If it hit me once with one of those enormous clawed hands, it would liquefy the bones under whichever part of my body it hit, with the possible exception of my head. I maintain that all evidence seems to point to the fact that someone did one of those adamantium upgrades on my skull when I wasn't looking. I was scrambling and blasting away for all I was worth, and I couldn't keep up a pace like that forever. I was scoring on the ick, maybe slowing it even more, but I wasn't even close to killing it. It all came down to a simple question. Was the ick better at taking it than I was at dishing it out? If so, then I was living on borrowed time, and the continuing onslaught of magic I threw at the thing amounted to an extremely high rate of interest. Before I could find out, the fight changed. The ick made a painful-looking surge of effort and got close enough to hit me. I barely got out of the way in time, almost fell, turned it into several spinning steps instead, and recovered my balance. The ick turned to follow, and Susan burst out of the cloud of greasy smoke the instant it turned its back. Her tattoos had flushed from black to a deep, deep crimson, and she moved with perfect grace and in perfect silence. So when she gracefully, silently swung that steel table leg at the side of the ick's knee joint, on its unmarred leg, no less, it took the monster entirely off guard. There was a sharp, terrible crack, a sound that I would have associated only with falling timber or possibly small-caliber gunfire if I'd heard it somewhere else. The steel bar smashed the ick's knee unnaturally inward until it made an angle of nearly 30 degrees. It bellowed in agony, and one arm swept back toward its attacker. The ick hit Susan, and though it had been off balance, startled and falling when it did so, it still knocked her 10 feet backward into the ground. Her club bounced out of her hand with a chiming metallic clang and tumbled, ringing like a tinny gong, into the circling flames. The heat within the green fires sliced off half the table leg as neatly as any high-temperature torch possibly could have done. The colors of the flame briefly striated with tendrils of amber, violet, and coppery red. The severed end rolled free of the fire, and its edge was glowing white-hot. I noticed it in the periphery of my heightened vision. Susan had landed on the ground with her back twisted at an impossible angle. The ick lurched toward me as I stood there, frozen in shock for the briefest of instants. It was more than enough time for the devourer to close, rake at me with its claws, and bat me 20 feet across the circle, all at the same time. Again, the spells on my coat withstood the brute power of the ick's claws. But this hadn't been a glancing blow, or incidental damage collected when it had tripped over me. This was a full-on sledgehammer slam of the kind that had probably tossed the blue beetle onto Thomas's sports car du jour. It was exactly what I had dreaded, and as my body hit the ground, a kind of resolved calm washed over me, along with howls of goblin excitement. I was a dead man, simple as that. The only question was whether or not I would survive long enough to feel the pain that the shock of impact was delaying, and of course, where to aim my death curse. My limp arms and legs slowed my tumble, and I wound up on my back with my hips twisted to one side, as the ick threw back its head and let out a burbling tea-kettle scream. Its heart pounded like surreal thunder, and my body suddenly felt awash with cold, as if I'd landed in a pool of icy water. The ick came at me, pain showing in its movements now. It howled and lifted both arms above its head, ready to smash them down onto my skull. "I didn't have much time to use my death curse," said the little sane voice in my head. And then another voice in my head, one far louder and more furious, screamed denial. My few glimpses of Maggie whirled through my mind, along with images of her death, or worse, at Ariana's hands. If I died here, there would be no one to take her out of darkness. I had to try. I thrust both fists at the ick's least injured leg and let go with every energy ring I had left. I guess from the outside it must have looked like one of those kung fu-type double fist strikes, though the only thing my actual fists were doing was collecting a new round of bruises and little scars. The energy released from the rings, though, kicked the ick's leg so hard that it swept out parallel to the floor. The ick toppled. I rolled desperately and escaped being crushed by its bulk by a hairbreadth. It landed in whistling agony. And I suddenly saw a way to kill it that would never have been visible to me if I hadn't been flat on my back and looking up. I raised the blasting rod to point at the ceiling above, deeply shadowed but still barely visible. It was a natural cavern roof. The floor might have been carved and polished smooth to host the Earl King's Hall, but stalactites the size of city buses hung from the ceiling like some behemoth's grim teeth. I checked to be sure that Susan was on the far side of the circle, as far away as possible from what I was about to bring down. Then I hurled my fear and rage at the base of a great stone fang that was almost directly overhead and put almost everything I had left into it.